بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم نحمده ونصلی علی رسول الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ tonight is the 4th of October in the year 2017 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 142nd night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And I've reached a tragic point where the illustrious companion has been struck by the accursed wretch. And like I mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, 7 companions were martyred and 13 were injured. So in another report in Sahih Bukhari, number 3700, in the chapter on the virtues of the companions, upon being struck, Umar radiallahu anhu instructed, O Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, find out about my assailant. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, upon inquiries he returned and he said, it was the slave of Al-Mughira radiallahu anhu. Umar asked, the craftsman? Ibn Abbas replied, yes. Umar radiallahu anhu thereupon responded, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse him. I did not treat him unjustly. All praise are for Allah the Almighty, who has not caused me to die at the hand of a man who claims himself to be a Muslim. Subhanallah. So this is recorded in Sahih Bukhari. So you note how close Ibn Abbas was. In fact, Ibn Abbas himself said, radiyallahu anhu, in Sahih Muslim, I served Sayyidina Umar even more than his family members. He was that close to Sayyidina Umar. And Umar, of course, like I mentioned, radiyallahu anhu, he would keep very close the people of the Quran. You know, a few months prior, I mentioned the reports. So obviously, Ibn Abbas was tarjaman al-Quran. So look how touching. Even on his deathbed, he was asking Ibn Abbas. And Ibn Abbas said it was the slave of Al-Mughira, i.e. Abu Lu'lu. And then Umar look at his justice. Because I did not treat him unjustly. Because may Allah Ta'ala curse him. And then he made that shukr, gratitude. Why? Because one of his anxieties was, I don't want to be struck by anybody who's done one prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, the shayateen. Sheikh Ali Muhammad As-Sallabi, in his work, The Biography of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu, volume 2, page 546, he related. This Zoroastrian, i.e. Abu Lu'lu, is the darling of the enemies of Islam, who have built a memorial tomb for him in Iran, modeled on the theme of the tomb of the unknown soldier. Al-Sayyid Hussein Al-Musawi, a scholar of Najaf in Iraq, he said, in the Iranian city of Qasham, there is a tomb like that of the unknown soldier. It contains a fake grave of Abu Lu'lu'a, the Persian Zoroastrian, murderer of the second Khalif, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. They have named it the tomb of Baba Shuja'uddin, i.e. the tomb of the brave saint of his religion, to Abu Lu'lu'a for killing Umar, radiyallahu anhu. The walls of the tomb have been inscribed in Persian with the following words, Marg Bar Abu Bakr, Marg Bar Umar, Marg Bar Uthman, which translates, death to Abu Bakr, death to Umar, and death to Uthman, radiyallahu ta'ala. This tomb is visited by Iranian Shiites, and money and other charity is cast therein. I have indeed seen this tomb myself. The Iranian Ministry of Religious Guidance has started its renovation and expansion. On top of this, they print its image on postcards too. There you go. So these are the shayateens, the Shia. So what? First of all, he was a fire worshipper. So why are the Shia making him into a saint? That's the first thing. Secondly, this man a saint for assassinating Amir al-Mu'mineen. Thirdly, how did he get his body? So what they've done is, because we've styled it on the tomb of the unknown soldier, like you got in France, meaning it's like an honorific tomb. And, astaghfirullah, imagine, if that wasn't bad enough, they've given it the epitaph, the tomb of Baba Shuja'uddin. Imagine, the tomb of the brave saint of his religion. And on the walls, death to Abu Bakr, death to Umar, and death to Uthman. So now somebody goes, okay, there may be a few crackpots amongst them who've done this. The Iranian Ministry of Religious Guidance, state level, has started its renovation and expansion. They don't even try to pull that one. There's crackpots in every community. What, the government? What sort of guidance is that? On top of it, they print it on postcards for blessings. Imagine. How pertinent, therefore, the description given by the eminent Tabi'i, Amr ibn Sharabil al-Hamdani. Tabi'i, look what he said, very interesting. He was called Imam Sha'bi, that was his title, but his real name is Amr ibn Sharabil al-Hamdani. So Imam Sha'bi, he said of these wretches, in Abdullah ibn Ahmad in his As-Sunnah, number 1276, if the Shia were from birds, they would be vultures. And if they were from animals, they would be donkeys. So look at the Tabi'in, look how much compassion they've got, mercy overlooking people's faults. But when it came to the Shia, you can see they had that great hatred. Why? Because these were the students of the Sahab. Imagine, so they gave their lives serving the companions of the Prophet, and then they're hearing this. So what he said was, whatever creation they are, they'll be the worst. If they were birds, they'd be vultures. So what do we know about vultures? They don't even, they just eat dead, rotten, carcasses. And if they were animals, they'd be donkeys. What do donkeys do? Imagine. So this is the reality of these shaitans. Think about that, innit? Right? So I wanted to mention that. So yes, but they do ziyarat to that place. And you can Google it. You don't want to see that wretched place, right? But you see them all there, rubbing their hands on the tomb. And now they're going to expand it. Why? Because more vultures and donkeys are going to be emerging there, innit? Astaghfirullah. So let's return to the matter at hand. Imam Baqir, who was the son of Zain al-Abidin. So these are the imams that they're supposed to follow. But they don't really. They lie about them, astaghfirullah. So who was Zain al-Abidin? Zain al-Abidin was Hussein's son. So Imam Baqir was the grandson of Hussein. So Imam Baqir was the grandson of the Prophet. So he relates in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, volume 3, page 199. The companions of Badr, radiallahu ta'ala, used to sit in the area between the pulpit and the grave of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When an attempt was made on Umar's life, radiallahu anhu, the Amir al-Mu'mineen sent a man to them with the message. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he takes an oath and he's asking you if you approve of this incident or was it carried out with your approval? All the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who were present, were reduced to tears. And Ali, radiallahu anhu, stood up and said, never. We believe Umar to be our sincere friend, and we desire to give our lives for his life so that it be prolonged. Subhanallah. So now let's look at this. So this is recorded, it's authentic in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya. So why is Imam Baqir narrating this? Because Imam Baqir is one of their imams. And according to them, these people are infallible like the prophets. They make a mockery of prophethood. Because the last prophet, it goes Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then there's imams. So we accept that. We believe that the sons of the prophets are imams. No doubt about that. But then you ask them, what does that mean? And basically, they're like prophets. They're ma'asoon. They can't make an error. They're divinely appointed. But they go one step further. Because these imams are greater than all the messengers and prophets. Except the Prophet. So they're the mockery, they mock the prophethood. It's a mockery. You know, if that's your belief, then what's the point saying the final prophet is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You've just made it into a joke. But anyway, he's narrating this. Imagine. And look how interesting. Where would the companions of Badr radiallahu ta'ala anhum sit? Their haunt, for want of a better word, was the garden of paradise. Between the grave of the prophet and the pulpit, they would sit in paradise. And as soon as Umar was struck, look how interesting. He sent a message to them and he asked them, because I put you on oath. Did this incident take place? Were you aware of it? Or if you were not aware of it, are you approved? Are you happy with this? Now why did he ask that, Sayyidina Umar? Because think about it, he still had that gift. The angel was speaking from his tongue. And look how amazing. All the Badris, and Ali included, they burst into tears. In other words, because how could you even think that, Amir al-Mu'min? And Hazrat Ali said, we would give our lives to save his life, let alone approve of this. So what do you learn? The Ahl al-Bayt, they loved Sayyidina Umar. Obviously, because he married the granddaughter of the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali was the father-in-law, for God's sake. Satisfied upon hearing of these responses, it is further related in Ibn Sa'd and Istabaqat, volume 3, page 346, that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu then ordered for the physician to examine his wounds. So obviously he was a very strong man. So he was still thinking, maybe I'll survive. So he brought a physician. Indeed, more than one physician came. And they all concluded that the strike beneath the navel was lethal. It could not be healed. Because five strikes, there was a possibility you could have survived. But the one below the navel, he goes, that's the one that's fatal. In Fath al-Bari, volume 7, page 65, Abu Ishaq, he relates, rahmatullah alayhi. The physician came to him the next morning and asked him, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, radiyallahu, what drink would you love the most? He replied, Nabith, i.e. a few dates which have been soaked overnight, the water from this. Thus the physician asked, could bring the Amir al-Mu'mineen some Nabith. When he drank it, it started flowing out of his wound. On seeing this, he said, this is pus. This is not Nabith, this is pus. Get some milk. Some milk was then brought. He drank it. It also flowed out of the wound. On seeing this, the physician said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, you should now make a will and testament, for I think that you will certainly die today or tomorrow. Let's look at this. So now, guess what? Subhanallah. The Shia said that the last drink Umar had was wine. Imagine, his wine flowed out of his wounds. You know, they will not even stop, even on his deathbed. So, what do you mean wine? He goes, his favorite drink was wine, so he had the last, you know, to muffle the pain. It was Nabis, you vultures, right, you donkeys. And he goes, yeah, but it's not the same thing. That's the sunnah. When you leave raisins and dates overnight in water, and then you drink the water. It was that drink. Then complete the report. When he drank, that pus came out. Meaning, the physician thought, well, possibly, or he thought, I might survive, because pus means there's a healing taking place. But when he drank the milk, and it came out, then the physician said, you got very little time. Those present thereupon all burst into tears. So much so that Umar radiallahu anhu ordered them to stop weeping or to leave. So obviously people out of love, they realized, look, the physician, they were hoping that he's going to come with some good news because his time's almost up. So there was a wave of weeping. So Umar now, he was trying to stop them. For instance, in Ibn Sa'd al-Istabaqat, volume 3, page 362, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 604 of the New English Translation, Sayyidina Miqdam ibn Ma'di Qarib radiallahu anhu, he relates, when Umar radiallahu anhu was wounded, Hafsa, radiallahu anha, entered the dwelling and she said with immense grief, O the companion of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O the father-in-law of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. Umar radiallahu anha thereupon said to his son, O Abdullah, help me to sit up. I can't tolerate what I'm hearing. So Abdullah ibn Umar helped his father against his chest. Umar thereupon said to his daughter Hafsa radiallahu anha, by the rights I have over you, I prohibit you now from wailing over me after this. But I have no control over your eyes. Are you not aware that whenever a deceased person is praised for what was not in him, the angels record this against him? O Hafsa radiallahu anha. So Hafsa radiallahu anha, obviously, first of all, is Amir al-Mu'mineen. Not only that, this is the father. She was the oldest daughter. So obviously she's saying something that's not true? Is all companion of the Messenger of Allah, or father-in-law of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Amir al-Mu'mineen. And look how Umar, he goes to his son, he goes, get me up. And that shows how weak he was, he couldn't even sit up. And then he goes, I have rights over you, and I prohibit you now from wailing, because your eyes are something else. And then he said something which is very interesting. Whenever a deceased person is praised for what is not in him, it's recorded against him. Meaning you're hurting him. One report says you're torturing that person. In another report, adding details, in Ahmad, in his Fada'il al-Sahaba 1-814, with a Sahih share of transmission, Anas radiallahu anhu, he relates, when Umar radiallahu anhu was stabbed, Hafsa screamed radiallahu anhu. Umar responded radiallahu anhu, Ya Hafsa, did you not hear the Messenger of Allah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who is eulogized, he is tormented. Suhaib al-Rumi then arrived and he said in anguish, O Umara, another statement of grief in Arabic. So Umar responded, woe to you, O Suhaib. Did you not hear that the one who is eulogized is tormented? So look what's happening. Hafsa obviously screams. He quotes the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Suhaib, who was his brother, he's also saying words of grief and he says the same. So what's happening? Everybody's going basically, they're out of love, they're losing their bearings, and he's correcting them. He goes, the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who is eulogized is tormented. So now what does that mean? Let me just add this very quickly. What does that hadith mean? So there's ways you can interpret it. One way that all scholars accept is that if a person encourages people to praise him after he dies, he will be punished. They all agree on that. So there's no difference of opinion over this. So that's one meaning of the hadith. But what about the one who actually, like Umar, is preventing people, but still people are pouring praise? Does the hadith still apply? And the best explanation that I've read myself is from the companion. And one of the companions, radiallahu anhu, said, it doesn't mean that the dead is tortured. It means it grieves him. Because you're doing something out of ignorance. You understand? So even in English, why are you tormenting that poor guy? But that doesn't mean he's getting tortured. It means that you're hurting him. So obviously, the person's being honored if he's passed. But then he sees the ignorance, people basically wailing, you're hurting. So that's one excellent interpretation. But there is another view that the dead will get tortured. Right? So there's ways to explain it. But the hadith is absolutely true. The wording is authentic. And how the scholars have interpreted it is very interesting. In another report it mentions, this is in Nasa'i, number 1859, Sahih, in the chapter on funerals. Muslim in his Sahih, number 927, in the chapter on funerals, relates identically. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he relates, radiallahu anhu, Suhaib radiallahu anhu now sat by Amir al-Mu'mineen and he was weeping and he was saying in grief, Wa ukhayya, wa ukhayya, O my beloved brother, O my beloved brother. In another report, Suhaib said, this is in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, number 927, Al-Lu'lu wal-Marjan, number 536 in the chapter on funerals, Mishkat. So Hayb said, Wa-akha wa-asahiba, O my beloved brother, O my beloved companion. Umar radiallahu anhu thereupon said, O Suhaib, do not weep, for I have heard the Messenger of Allah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الْمَيِّتَ لَيُؤَذَّبُ بِبَعْدِ بُقَاءِ أَحْلِهِ عَلِيْهِ. Verily the deceased is punished due to some of the weeping of his family for him. The deceased is punished due to some of the weeping of his family for him. I note that Umar radiallahu anhu considered Suhaib as being part of his family. Subhanallah radiallahu anhu. So let's look at this. So this is a Sahih Hadith. So what was Suhaib saying? He's weeping. And he's saying, Wa Ukhayya, meaning, O my beloved brother. He said, Wa Akha wa Asahiba, O my beloved brother, O my beloved companion. But Umar considered that wailing. And he goes, don't weep, don't say these statements. Because the Prophet ﷺ, when he mentioned the Hadith, the deceased is punished due to some of the weeping of his Ahl, his family. So look at the immense praise of Suhaib. Suhaib wasn't his family, but Umar loved him that much, he considered him part of his family. In a similar report, it mentions, this is in Sahih Muslim, number 2147, in the chapter on funerals. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he relates, when Umar radiallahu anhu was attacked, Suhaib radiallahu anhu came from his dwelling and entered upon Umar radiallahu anhu. Upon seeing his dear brother, he stood by his side and he wept. Umar radiallahu anhu thereupon said to him, Alama tabki, a'aliyya tabki, what are you crying for? Are you crying for me? He replied, E wallah, la alayka abki ya amir al mu'mineen. Indeed, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is for you I am weeping, O amir al mu'mineen. Umar radiallahu anhu replied, By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know that the Messenger of Allah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man yubqa alayhi yu'adhab. Whoever is cried over is then tormented. Because you know this, Suhaib radiallahu. So let's look at this. So this is in Sahih Muslim. So look how it's actually quite humorous as well. So imagine he's weeping next to Umar. And what does Umar ask? Alama tabki, a'alayya tabki. What are you crying for? Are you crying for me? So really, if you think about it, that's, you know, well, what do you think he's crying for? So he didn't say, yes, I'm crying for you. He goes, E-Wallah, yes, by Allah. La alayka abi ya amir al-mu'mineen. It is for you I am weeping. Of course it's for you, O amir al-mu'mineen. And then he quoted the hadith, whoever is cried for is tormented. Similarly, in Ibn Sa'ad in Istabaqat, volume 3, page 360, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 604 of the New English Translation, Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahmatullah alayhi, said, when a drink was brought to Umar radiallahu anhu after he had been struck, the drink came out of his wounds as he drank. At this, Suhaib cried out in anguish, Who is there after you, O Umar, O my dear beloved brother? Umar radiallahu anhu responded, Don't you know that the person over whom people cried loudly will be punished? So this adds a detail. It was when the physician brought the drink and the milk came out, that's when he, you know, cried out in anguish. Because who is there after you, Umar? Oh, my beloved brother. And then he quoted the hadith again. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who was observing all this, he would later say, in Fath al-Bari 765, May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon Umar radiallahu. What he was suffering did not keep him from speaking the truth. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon Umar radiallahu. What he was suffering did not keep him from speaking the truth. Imagine, he's going through death pangs. If he's struck severely, poison spread through his body, he's still enjoying the good forbidding the evil. Imagine. So the only way example I can give now is like you go to intensive care unit and the guy is barely functioning and he's still doing an evil munkar. You think, what's it? He's doing sign language to you. He goes, yeah, make sure your trousers above your ankles, make sure you do. Thinking, what is going on here? And Abdullah ibn Masood said, Subhanallah, he goes, may Allah have mercy upon him. He goes, despite what he was going through, he did not stop from speaking the truth. Imagine. Why? Because he was the bolt of the fitna. If he had taken place in his presence and he had not said anything, people would say it's fine. Umar remained silent. But Allah Ta'ala still gave him that strength to make sure that this was corrected. And of course, Suhaib al-Rumi, whose life we've been through recently, radiallahu, he was most dear to Umar radiallahu. Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith in Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, he said, you should love him like a mother loves her child. So as soon as you hear that report, you got to be honest. Don't even know who he is. So look how amazing. We were told to love him like a mother loves her child. How much did he love Umar? Think about that. He looks like all the way around for Suhaib. He's loving Umar more like than his own flesh and blood. And that's why he considered him like his family. He goes, if your family weeps over you, he goes, the person will be punished, O Suhaib. And of course, the other great sign of his love for Suhaib was that he made him the Imam for the temporal time when there was an election over the Khalif, when they were electing the Khalif, he was a temporal Imam. Right? So this shows Umar's great love and veneration for Suhaib al-Rumi. So all I mentioned today was basically now talking about the aftermath of the strike and a few details. First of all, mentioning the vultures and donkeys who praise and are happy over the death of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu. And they still laudi, they even go as far as to call him the Fir'aun of this Ummah. Imagine, the one who brought Islam to their land. That's another irony. How did Islam come to Iran? Right, you ask him through the Imams. And he goes, during Umar's Khalifat. And then he goes, yeah, so just for that, shouldn't you respect him? No, because he's fasik. Astaghfirullah. And then, of course, I mentioned a few of the twitching reports where the people out of love were saying things and he was still correcting them due to being the personality he was. Radiallahu. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى الحي الذي لا يموت سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله